to share perhaps one of the more amazing passages of Scripture this morning. And I'm going to use amazing a lot today, I guess, so that'll be good. But it is truly, truly a life-changing passage. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3. We're going to share verses 1 through 21. You'll find it on page 1064 of the Pew Bible if you're using that this morning. And please, if you need a Bible, take that with you. We want those to be read and not to languish here in the pew rack. So take one with you if you can use a Bible or know of someone who needs one. We'd love to have them be out there and be read and be loved, because God's Word is for us to love, because He loves us so much. So let's hear the Word of the Lord. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing grace that we find in it. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know eternal life through your Son, Jesus. And we thank you this morning for the message you've given Pastor Dana to bring to us as he brings it. Bless him, Lord, and bless our hearing of it. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, again, welcome to Pittsburgh Community Church. We are so glad that you're here. If you're a regular attender or first-time guest, I hope that you make yourself right at home as we take a few moments this morning to think about what the Bible says about the supernatural, particularly about spiritual rebirth. We have been, over these last several weeks, thinking along this theme of the supernatural, exploring what the Bible says about supernatural things. And we know that as people, we are geared toward the supernatural. We have a natural tendency to think toward the supernatural things of life. And even in our secularized, materialistic kind of culture, America, we certainly have that side of life that we want to know that there's something bigger, something grander, something outside of ourselves, something that's beyond us, because we have built within us a sense that exists. Now, sometimes that takes misplaced forms. I can't help but think that some of this fascination with, like, alien invasion has to do with the sense that there's a desire for something that's supernatural, something bigger and beyond ourselves. And so some people have come to the conclusion, must be aliens built the pyramids. Must be aliens are the ones responsible for crop circles. Must be aliens are the ones responsible for my crazy uncle who was abducted once, and these kinds of things. And we wear our foil helmets and all those sorts of things. No offense, anybody's been abducted, by the way. I'm just pointing out there's this sense within us that we want something bigger, right? And we sometimes misplace it, I think, in things that are sensationalized instead of going to the truth that God has revealed to us, that truth that's revealed to us in the Bible, particularly that truth that's revealed to us through Jesus Christ, who is God, who came into this world, who died and rose again, who can tell us all about the supernatural with authority. And so we go to the Bible, we find that as our base of authority to understand things about the supernatural. So we've been looking at some topics such as the nature of angels and Satan and demons. And if you haven't, if you weren't here for those, you can go online, check those messages out if you have a curiosity about them. Today we're going to talk about this idea of spiritual rebirth, that there's something, yes, bigger and grander, something outside of us, that something is God, and the way he has designed us is so that we would have a relationship, a connection with him, that we would enjoy him in life, and that he would have this relationship with us. But we understand that in our own hearts, we have distanced ourselves from God by going our own way. And so there's a need for us to reconnect with God, to have this, and we sense this, there's a significant need for that supernatural, even not just outside of us, but within us, in our very heart of hearts. Because what we discover is that our hearts are empty. There's something lacking inside that can only be filled by that which is outside, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want you to go down a journey with me to think about some of the things the Bible says about the supernatural, particularly as it relates to this idea of spiritual rebirth. What we have to understand at the beginning is, we talk about spiritual rebirth, this is not reincarnation. That's a different kind of thing. Reincarnation is a concept, I think, again, one of these misplaced efforts to connect with that supernatural. And so in Buddhist and Hindu cultures, they'll talk about, for example, you know, maybe if I, you know, maybe I will come into a new life somehow. Maybe I'll move up the scale, you know, and become something better and better in each reincarnated form. It's almost a recycling of life over and over, like you would have with your plastic jug that you put out by the curb on Tuesday morning. Maybe you'll come to something better. We keep recycling life until we get to a higher state. But again, a misplaced understanding. That's not what Scripture teaches. And in fact, it's disturbing. Once in a while, Christians will say, well, isn't it kind of like reincarnation? No, it's completely different. Spiritual rebirth is a completely different thing. It's not reincarnation. Therefore, it's not based on karma. Now, we might think in terms of, you know, if I just, and Steve will look at the next slide, it's not based on karma. It's not as if we can have a list of all the bad things we've done in life and then say, I'll make it up by going and doing them over again. And just, if I can just balance out that list, then I'll be all right with the universe. The list keeps getting longer, doesn't it? And it's just impossible. And so it's not reincarnation. It's not based on karma. Scripture is very clear that it has to do with a rebirth, which is a new creation, a new work that God does in our empty hearts. And it's based not on karma, not on our efforts, but it's based on faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what we want to look at. This is what Jesus was describing for this man named Nicodemus. We read about him just a few moments ago in John chapter 3. Where we read about Jesus' description of this idea of new life. What we discover is that Jesus is our ultimate authority in this area because he died and rose again. His resurrection gives him the authority to speak to us about these kinds of things. And so what we understand about Jesus Christ and this idea of rebirth comes from his teaching here, particularly in John chapter 3, but throughout the Scriptures, really. And what we find that it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we can start life over with God again. We get a redo. We get a start over with God. It's like hitting the reset button. Okay, and all of us in life, we just wish there's a time we could hit the reset button. There's so many things in my past, I wish they could just go away. And the idea of spiritual rebirth is that's exactly what God does in our life. He hits the reset button. He brings us a new life that we didn't have before, and it's a new life that's alive with God through spiritual rebirth. So there are five facts I'd like to have us think about this morning about rebirth, as we find them in John's Gospel here, chapter 3. The first is this: new birth is absolutely essential for us to enter heaven. New birth is absolutely essential for us to enter heaven. You might say to yourself, well, are there some other paths? Because this whole idea of being born again really kind of unnerves me. I mean, I know some people who were born again. and I don't want to be like them, okay? I get that. I understand. On behalf of Christians everywhere, I apologize to you for the people who you know, say they're born again and act, you know, kind of different, okay? There's some people like that. But don't blame them or don't base your thinking on some bad experiences with Christians that have not maybe measured up to what Jesus is saying, to what Jesus himself said. He's the one who coins the term here. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 3. He replies to Nicodemus. He's meeting with Nicodemus. This is a man who has studied Scripture all his life. He's trying to understand God. He's trying to connect, and he hasn't quite made this connection yet. So if you're here today and you say, I've never really heard this, don't be embarrassed. That's okay. Scholars have missed it. This is Nicodemus was one of those. He's a scholar who missed it. He comes to Jesus, and he's asking Jesus about the kingdom of God and what Jesus' opinions and thoughts are. And Jesus says to this studied scholar of Scripture these words. He replies, "Very truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." This is Jesus' phrase. Now look what he's saying. No one can see the kingdom of God. It's impossible to connect with God. It's impossible to have a relationship with God. It's impossible to fill that emptiness of our heart. It's impossible to connect with the supernatural, the spiritual side of life. It's impossible to have heaven as your future apart from spiritual rebirth. That's a very bold statement. That's why it's important for us to consider it this morning. A very bold statement. What does Jesus have in mind here? Well, when he says this, what he is saying is a couple of things. First, those who seek after God must seek him on his terms. Because Nicodemus comes and says, you know, what do I need to do? How do I come to God? And Jesus says, it's not what you do, it's being born again. It's something that God has to do in your life. You have to come on my terms. See, what happens is we sometimes think, I want to connect with God, but it has to be my way. I'll do it through karma. I'll do it through these acts. I'll do it through, you know, the rituals I'll go through or the activities that I'm engaged in. And that'll have to be good enough for God. God will have to accept that. No. God says, you have to come to me on my terms. My terms are very simple, by the way, but you have to come on my terms. It comes through my Son, Jesus Christ. It comes through a rebirth, a new birth, being born again. So Jesus is very clear. This is essential for us to come into a relationship with God. Also, we understand that he's saying that spiritual rebirth, rather than personal reform, is God's plan for salvation. We sometimes think, if I can just make myself good enough, God will accept me. No, that's Jesus says it's a rebirth experience, being born again. So it's absolutely essential for us if we're going to enter into heaven, if we're going to have a relationship with God that goes on for all eternity. Second, we need to understand that new birth is a spiritual mystery that produces spiritual life. A spiritual mystery that produces spiritual life. Birth itself, physical birth itself, is quite a mystery, isn't it? Any of you moms and dads, and you've brought children into the world, and we look at those children, and a child is born, and we say, wow, this is awesome. What God has done, how could life come from me? I mean, it's the miracle of birth, the mystery of birth. And that's a great thing. Even more so, the miracle of rebirth within our heart. There's a new birth that takes place in our heart when we come to Jesus Christ. And it's a spiritual mystery, and it produces spiritual life. Because before that event takes place, before there's the spiritual rebirth, there's an emptiness. We could say we're spiritually dead toward God. And so there's an emptiness in our heart that hasn't connected with the creator of the universe, that's out of touch with the supernatural and the realities of who God is. But our hearts are hungry for that. And so we know it's missing. We know there's something there, and we need that. And it's a mystery of life. Jesus puts it this way in his conversation with Nicodemus. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh. We understand that, the birth of a baby, the joy of that. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. That spiritual element within us needs the Holy Spirit of God, God himself, to do that work within us. So he says, you shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Shouldn't be surprising at all. Why? Because this is something that God does. What we find then is that spiritual rebirth involves the work of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. This isn't something we can do. It's something God has to do within us to bring us into a place of being alive. He's creating life within us. And we'll talk about how that happens in a moment. But he creates life in us that wasn't there before, makes us alive to God. And that the Holy Spirit's regenerating work is mysterious, but very, very real. The way Jesus describes it to Nicodemus, he says it's like the wind blowing. He says you can sense its effects, but you can't tell where it came from, where it's going. And we feel that. We live in Rochester. We have our windy days, don't we? Trees are swaying. Hats are blowing off our head. All these things that are taking place. And we say to ourselves, I wonder where that wind is coming from and where it's going. And so we turn on the news and we check out the meteorologists. And they have their maps. And I love to see these. And it says, hey, the storm is moving in from the Colorado Rockies. And it's coming across the plains. And it's going to hit Rochester. And sure enough, it hits Rochester. And then it's going to go up the coast and off into the Atlantic, and we say, there, now I know where the wind came from and where it goes, right? No. How did it get to the Rockies and across the plains? Where did it start? It must have been in the Pacific Ocean at one point, right? Well, how did it get there? Maybe it started in Asia. I don't know. Maybe it started in Europe. Maybe it started in the Atlantic to get to Europe, to get to Asia, to get to... where's it going? I mean, we can't fathom all of those sorts of things, and yet we feel the effects of it. We know it's a windy day. Jesus says, this is kind of like what the Spirit does in your heart. You sense something happening, and you don't know where it's coming from. There's a hunger, there's a need, there's a stirring of God in your life. And it might be just, you know, by being in church and exploring Christianity again for the first time. It may be in a conversation you've had with a friend, and you say, you know, sometimes I feel like that. I don't know why. And we begin to wonder what God might be doing. And it's God stirring things up. We can't tell where it's coming from. We don't know how it's going to all turn out. But we know in that moment, God is at work in our life. He's stirring something up. And I suspect that this morning, God is stirring something up in some of your hearts this morning. Because that's the way God works. And we can't tell what it is, but it's a mysterious thing. It's a miraculous thing. Like birth of a child. It's the birth of a new life within a spiritually dead heart. It's the Holy Spirit's regenerating work in our hearts. And so we understand this to be a miraculous, mysterious thing. Third fact, new birth is the result of putting our personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we enter into that new birth? How do we connect with that movement of God within our heart? Our response is one of faith. Jesus put it this way in this passage in verse 14. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Belief or faith. Eternal life comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what's with the snake thing? So here, if in the Old Testament, you might remember Moses is the leader of the Israelites. He takes them out of slavery in Egypt and takes them to the promised land. And so along the way, they have a very long journey. And on that long journey, the people of Israel are complaining that God isn't treating them fairly. He's just released them from slavery, but he's not treating them fairly, these kinds of things. And so God sends at various times things to discipline them. And at one time in the Old Testament, it says that snakes invaded the camps, venomous snakes. And people were getting bit by the venomous snakes and dying. And so God said to Moses, make a snake out of bronze, put it on a pole, put it in the middle of the camp, and if somebody gets bit by a poisonous snake, all they have to do, they don't have to, you know, get medical treatment, they just look at the snake on the pole, and the venom will go away, the poison will be gone, they'll be healed. Okay? That's strange, isn't it? What's he saying? You have to believe me to have your healing. That's a faith act. You'd have to have faith to walk out of your tent door and look at that pole and say, okay, that's going to do it for me, right? But it did. Why? Because he is teaching them the importance of faith. Jesus now says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will be lifted up. How? On a cross. So that anyone who believes in me will be saved. How do we come into this new life, this spiritual life? It's by looking at Jesus Christ by faith. And we might say, you know, that's it. That's all I've got to do is believe in Jesus, believe that he died and rose for me. Jesus says, that's it. That's it. It's a matter of faith. So what he says here is that we need to look to him and that we may have eternal life. Whoever believes may have eternal life. So by virtue of his deity, Jesus Christ is the only source of absolute authority. We know because he is God who came in the flesh, we can trust him to be true and accurate, and his words are trustworthy and authoritative. But it's by virtue of his crucifixion, Jesus on the cross, that he becomes the source of eternal life for us. How do we come into this renewed life, this new life? Only through Jesus Christ, God who came and died and rose again for us. And all we need to do is look to him, that we need to have faith in him. And that faith, what is that faith? It means that with my mind, I believe this is true. What Jesus did and what he said is true. And with my heart, I accept that as the reality for my life. And at that moment, when we come to that realization, that Spirit of God that's stirring within us produces life. spiritual life, a spiritual rebirth. And what we find is that then this new birth is the guarantee that we have passed from condemnation to salvation, from a place of being under judgment to a place of God's blessing and his deliverance from our sins. John 3:16, familiar verse to many of us, I'm sure. And for God so loved the world. See, it's about God loving you. He doesn't want to leave us abandoned to an empty, hollow life, one that's a place of judgment. Instead, he loves us so much, God so loved you, that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him, to look at Jesus Christ on the cross, to know in our minds and say, I believe that's true, I accept that as reality, and to believe in our hearts and say, I'm receiving that as my own reality. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Life begins when we look to Jesus Christ. And so that life is a life that begins with faith in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God does a miraculous work of creating life within us, a spiritual rebirth. Because of his love, what we understand is that God made every provision possible to save us. It's because of his love for us. He did everything necessary. And what we understand is that God wants to save us. He doesn't want to condemn us. He's there to rescue us from our sin. But it's belief, it's true faith that's necessary. It's the necessary condition for our salvation. And if the Spirit of God is beginning to move in your heart and you sense a hunger, you sense an emptiness, you sense that there's just something missing and you want that, the Spirit of God is saying to you, look to Jesus Christ on the cross. And believe in him. Put your faith in him. How we often express that in very simple terms is when we look at Jesus in faith, we want to receive him. That's another way the New Testament describes faith. It's a receiving of a gift that's been freely given to us. And so we can receive him. And that can be expressed in a prayer in our hearts, just quietly between us and God, to say, Lord Jesus, I believe this. This is truth. This is my reality too. I receive you into my life right now, right as I'm listening to this message, I'm receiving you into my life. And when we do that, immediately the Spirit of God produces life, the spiritual rebirth, where we're born anew into God's family. It's an amazing thing, a miraculous and mysterious thing. It's a supernatural thing, and God wants to do that in your heart this morning. You're going to hear in a few minutes about how he's done that in the hearts of some of those who are here to be baptized today as an expression of that faith commitment. And so belief is Jesus Christ, and I want to invite you to make that faith commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Finally, what happens then is that this new birth is the starting place. It's not the end of the game. It's the starting place for us to begin living transformed lives. Because God is doing something new. There's new life, and so there's a new way of life that we live as a result of that. And we begin to change the way we think, and the way we act, the way we speak, because we want to honor Jesus Christ who's living his life within us. Jesus put it this way in his conversation with Nicodemus. He says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. So there's this side of life where people do the wrong things, say the wrong things, want to hit the reset button, but they have no way outside of Jesus. But he says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God, so that people see there's a change that results with this new life experience in Jesus Christ. When we reject God's truth, what we do is we reveal the evil hearts that harbor evil works. If we're going to reject God, then we're simply going to go down the wrong path. But when we receive God's truth, we reveal this transformed heart that produces good works. There's difference. There's a change in our life that takes place in this new birth experience, in this new reality with God, the spiritual rebirth. It's an amazing thing to experience, an amazing thing to have that as the guiding reality of our lives. And Jesus said, without it, you can't enter heaven. You can't get it by your own works. You have to receive me, look to me at the cross. But when you've done that, your life's going to be different, and you're going to love it. And I want to invite you to receive that life that is in Jesus Christ. So a couple of applications this morning. Because spiritual rebirth is essential to our eternity in heaven, we should consider it seriously. I want to just ask you to consider this seriously. Don't write this thing off. Because Jesus says this is the essential of the spiritual reality. So consider it seriously. And because spiritual rebirth is based on our faith response to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to receive him wholeheartedly. Just open your heart to Jesus and say, come in and be my Savior.